Blog Talk Radio.
I will obey. Glory, glory, hallelujah, hallelujah, glory, glory. Thank you, Lord. I will obey. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Good evening, everyone. This and praise the Lord. This is Pastor Carlos A. Ramos, Jr. of the Way, the Truth, and the Life Tabernacle, broadcasting here from Fort Pierce, Florida, throughout the whole world, in the internet service of Blog Talk Radio. You could contact us at 516-418-5944. Look for the number sign, press that. Look for the number one, press that, and you'll be connected with the studio. Your host is The Way, The Truth, and The Life Tabernacle Church. Glory be to the Lord. And today we're going to continue our study in the Bible. Is Christianity real? It is something that all of us have to be trailblazers of, and we have to go forward and see what the scripture says about it. We're not making this up. We are looking at the Word of God as it was written down by Moses, by the psalmists, by the prophets, and the writings of the minor prophets. Glory be to the Lord. Is Christianity real? So, you know, a lot of people go about arguing, and they go about arguing the truth of the scripture. What we need to understand is the Word of God. I mean, there's a common saying out there that a man is known by his word. The Word of God is everlasting for everlasting. Jesus said it in Matthew 3:35, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall remain forever and ever. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Is Christianity real? There's three major religions out in the world today. We have Christianity, whom we believe the Jewish Messiah, Yeshua HaMashiach, is and was a promised Messiah as spoken of by Moses, as spoken of by all the prophets of the Old Testament, whether they're major or minor prophets. Hallelujah. And as spoken as in the books that we read in the scriptures. People read in the scriptures, the book of Esther, and they say God is not mentioned in that book. He's all over that book. If you are prayed up and you are being directed by the Holy Spirit, God will show you that he's there in the book of Esther. A lot of people, some of my Jewish brothers and sisters, some of my Gentile friends don't believe that Esther contains the word of God because God is not mentioned. He's all over that book. If you read the book of Esther very carefully, with an open heart and an open mind, the Holy Spirit will reveal to you the triune God. He will reveal to you Jesus Christ, the one and true and faithful God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So the Word of God is established in heaven forever and ever. That's the one thing that you must understand. If you go to civil court and there's a trial that being made, well, the testimony that is being given by the prosecuting side, by the defense side, is going to be in record for the jurors to see. However, we know that the judge has the final say-so as to the time that the person will spend behind the bars if he's convicted of a crime. Glory be to the Lord. So God has sent forth his word. We read in the word that God has imprinted in his word the end from the beginning. So if you want to know what the book is all about, you want to read the book, because Isaiah said, line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. And we have to read it. We have to read the Proverbs. We have to read the Psalms. We have to read the books of the historical books. We have to read the prophetical books. We have to read it all. We can choose and pick which word applies. We have to look at the Word of God. In these days, there's a lot of rumble going on as to whether or not a woman is allowed to preach. Well, we read the scriptures in Timothy and in other places where it restricts a woman But when that question was posed to Jesus Christ himself, he said, you make an error, because in heaven, there's neither male nor female. We're all the same. And we're all the same. We have all have the same Spirit of God within us, and we're born again, filled with the Holy Spirit. So who am I just because I'm a pastor, just because I'm a man, a leader? Who am I to tell God he cannot use a woman? Who am I? Maybe my walk is faulty, and God has to raise up a woman to give the message, because Pastor Carlos is not obeying the scriptures. Look at the song we just read, we just heard just now. I will obey. Have you always obeyed God? Have you always obeyed his word for your life? Have you always done the ministry that God called you to do? Or have you wavered and come up with a different excuse? A lot of people come up with a lot of excuses as to why they give in on the ministry that the Lord has given unto them. And I just praise the Lord for that. I'm one of those that believe that women are available to God. God could use them the way he pleased. I mean, didn't he not use Mary Magdalene to be the first evangelist of the good news that Jesus Christ has risen? And just prior to that, did not God use a Samaritan woman as a witness to Samaria as to the things that Christ had told her about her life? God could use anyone, my brothers and sisters. We're not going to box God in and say, no, can't use this woman. We know that we read in the scriptures that a bishop, a person who desires the office of a bishop, desires a good thing, and he is to be examined. He is to be the husband of one wife. How many of you are out there who's a bishop and you've been divorced before? You have a different wife. You don't have your original wife. So that disqualifies you right there, yet you operate in the office of a bishop by faith. Everything that we do is by faith. So let's not argue the word of God. Let's appropriate the word of God. Let's grow from the word of God. And let us praise him and worship him. We know that whether it's a man or a woman, themselves clean, their hands are clean, their heart is pure, God will use them. If they humble themselves, if they're powerful, God will stay away from them. But if they humble, like the word of God says, God will use them for his glory. Glory, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And I venture to say, brothers and sisters, I'm going to look it up, but I believe there's a couple of scriptures there that Paul wrote, and in them he indicates that he was under a female apostle. So if Paul, who was a prophet to the Gentiles, who's a prophet, who's a messenger to the Gentiles, who's an apostle to the Gentiles, if Paul is obedient to do these things, who are we to tell God he cannot use a woman? A woman, if she's faithful, if she's obedient, she's humble, God could use her in any kinds of way. Because remember what he said to the woman, that their beauty comes from within. Not the outside apparel, but the beauty comes from within. And who's within? Jesus Christ. He's our Lord and Savior. So who are we to say to Jesus Christ, who's inside of us by faith and who's inside of the females by faith, that he cannot use them at the appropriate time, at the time allotted to them? It could be that the woman is the only one available at that moment to speak up. So we have to be very careful, just like some of my brothers and sisters have a problem with head coverings. where Paul told the woman to cover her hair. Well, there was a specific reason why. Did you ever study why Paul told them to cover their hair? One of the reasons, as you study, my brothers and sisters, is that you had a lot of temple prostitutes. They will come in and their hair will be loose and they will try to manipulate the brethren and cause them to stumble. And Paul told the woman who was at the church, who was humble, who was pure, who really was saved, to cover themselves and cover their hair. Because remember, the man is the head of the woman, and Christ is the head of the church. So there was a separation there between those women who were Christ-like. They had their head covering, and those women who were temple prostitutes who came into the church, who did a lot of noise. That's why Paul also wrote that a woman should keep quiet in the church. You know, study your word completely. Study it. Don't just say that there's a contradiction of the word of God. There is no contradiction of the word of God. The word of God is perfect. If we don't understand, we should ask God for revelation. The word of God speaks of itself. It gives itself definition. It's alive. Jesus Christ himself said it. The word is alive. The word is spirit. So how is it that something that's alive, you know, you're going to complain as if it was dead? The word of God. As a matter of fact, the word of God says that who's going to judge us but the word of God? People are going to try to come up with all kinds of excuses, but it's the word of God that's going to manifest himself and show you the error of your ways. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So is Christianity real? That's the question that we must ask. And we know that the Jewish brethren, they're waiting for the Messiah, Ben Joseph, and Messiah Ben David to come and beat the nations that are surrounding them, beat the nation that's oppressing them. And the Muslims are waiting for the Mahdi. You know, the difference between their Jesus and our Jesus is the marks of the cross. They don't believe that Jesus Christ went to the cross. They don't believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Even Paul, even Thomas said, unless I put my fingers and see the marks in his hands and his eyes, I won't believe. And when Jesus appeared to them, he showed them his side. He showed them his feet. He showed them his hands. He showed them his back and his forehead. And Paul and Thomas, he kneeled down and he said, my Lord and my God. And Jesus said, because you see, you believe. But blessed are those who believe and have not seen. That's you and I, brothers and sisters. So the difference between the Muslim Mahdi and the Christian Jesus Christ is the mark of the cross. Because since they don't believe that Christ went to the cross, well, the Jesus that they believe in don't have the marks. And this is where they're going to have a big problem, because the word of God tells us at the second coming, after the rapture, the second coming, he's going to come in the clouds in the air with his angels, and the trumpets of God is going to make a lot of noise, and he's going to stand on Mount Olivet. And if we read Zechariah very carefully, chapters 12 and 13, you see that the Jewish people asked the Messiah, where did you get these marks from? And he's going to answer them and say, I got them in my friend's house. So you see, my brothers and sisters, in the Old Testament and the New Testament speaks of the marks of the cross. So the real true Christian, Jesus Christ gave his body up as a sacrifice, as a lamb. He fulfilled the feast of Passover. He fulfilled the feast of unleavened bread when he was buried. He fulfilled the feast of first fruits when he resurrected, and he fulfilled the feast of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit was given to the church. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So today we're going to speak about power in the Word. Oh, my goodness. If you want to come on board and give your testimony, or if you have a question or a comment, you could call us at 516-418-5944. Look for the number sign, press that, and look for the number 1. Press that, you'll be connected to the studio. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Power in the Word. Well, there's two significant words that I would like to share with you from the Greek that speaks about the Word. The first one is logos. We have the logos word. In the beginning was the logos. It's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the logos word. He is what is written down in the books. The Word of God became flesh. He took our human body and came into this earth. Glory. The Word of God did so. That's Jesus Christ. Then you have, and we know the logos word is words that are written down, words that are spoken to you, words that you could confirm and read for yourself and study. Then you got the rhema word. That is a very powerful word. Rhema word, it talks about a word that is given to us by the Holy Spirit. It's a revelatory word, a word that gives us revelation, a word that gives us above all the hope. So when we read in 1 Thessalonians, where it says, in chapter 4, verse 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, where it says, the Lord himself shall descend with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we that remain shall be caught up together with them in the air. And in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 15 talks about, in a token of an eye, we shall all be changed. We shall not all be the same. We shall be changed. We're going to meet the Lord in the clouds. This is the rapture. This is not the second coming where he comes to Mount Olivet. This is the rapture where he awaits for us in the clouds, takes us to the Father's house. Glory be to the Lord. So, brothers and sisters, read your scriptures correctly. Don't argue the scriptures. Read them for yourself. Look them up and ask the Holy Spirit to guide you and to open up your understanding to the Word of God. We know that in the rapture, Jesus is coming to the clouds, the second heavens, and he's going to take us out of this world. Rapture, harpazo. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. Transported from one place to another. That's church. Hallelujah. Just like a wedding, the husband, when he's married, the reverend or whoever's married them says, and now I present to you Mr. and Mrs. So-and-so, you may kiss the bride. He kisses the bride. They walk up the aisle, then they disappear. And the Jewish wedding, I would recommend if you want to watch the movies called The Day Before the Wrath. It's very interesting. It talks about the wrath of God. It talks about the rapture. It talks about the wedding feast, what happens at the wedding feast, and how the wedding feast is a picture of the rapture. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. So they disappear. So in the Jewish wedding, after they're married, they go to consummate. They're out 7 days. Nobody knows where they are. Nobody sees them. And then on the seventh day, the bridegroom brings his bride out and presents her to the community. This is my wife. And that's what God is going to do, Christ. After we marry, after we sit down and have to sit a meal, we're going to come back with Christ in the air as the army of the Lord. And we're going to come to Mount Olives to rescue those Jewish brothers and sisters who are hiding in the mountains from the Antichrist. Because the Antichrist can't touch them. He doesn't have permission to touch those remnant of God. Hallelujah. So let's go to the first verse. We'll find it in Psalms 138 and 2. And let's see what it says. We're going to read the verse first and then read the whole chapter. 138:2. I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. You know, in giving God of the praise and giving God of the glory, last week we spoke about power in the name, and we looked at Philippians chapter 2, verses 6 through 11, and we understood that there was a name given to Jesus Christ, which is above every name, and that is the name Jesus Christ. And he held his Father's name before the apostles and before the witnesses. Every time that he spoke, he would say, I am. And the name of God was right there, but they just didn't want to hear it. Here we have the word of God. There's something that God did from the beginning. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. Now, when you go back to Genesis chapter 1, we're going to see something. In verse 3, it says, and God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. And God said, let there be a firmament. Verse 7, and God made the firmament. And verse 8, and God called the firmament heaven. Verse 9, and God said, let us. Glory. And in verse 10, and God called the dry land earth. In verse 11, and God said, let the earth bring forth abundantly the grass. And the earth brought forth grass. And the evening and the morning were the third day. Verse 14, and God said, let there be lights in the firmament. So as you continue to read Genesis 1, you're going to come across those words, and God said. So we are looking at what God has said in the many things that he put down. He told Moses also, if you remember correctly, when you study the Advent, when you study what happened to Moses when he came across to God, God said to Moses, write down. What is he going to write down? The word that God spoke. The word that God spoke. The word that was given to Moses. And God said, make sure that you write it according to the pattern that was given to you. So there was a pattern in heaven of the heavenlies, and Moses had to follow that. God gave us his word. When we read Ephesians chapter 6, and we go to verse 10. It says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the enemy, of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girded about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplications in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And I take you back to verse 17. It says, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So, you know, one thing that the enemy hates, and that is the name of Jesus. He hates the blood of Jesus. But he also hates the word, because the word lets him know who he is, where he came from, what has he done, and where he's going to spend eternity. The word of God tells me that the devil has already been judged. Hallelujah. Hell was created for the devil and his angels. But because man's heart is deceitful above all things, hell has enlarged itself. So the lake of fire, hell, was only created for man, for the devil and his demons, for the Antichrist, for the false prophet. But because people are going to take the mark of the beast, they're going to reject Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior, the word is going to judge them. The word is it's like when you go to court and you have all this evidence before you. What could you do? The evidence says one thing. The evidence says that you did it. You're trying to say, no, you didn't do it, but you have no evidence. The evidence was presented. And the evidence shows that, yes, because of the findings that they found, you are the criminal. And then the judge passed the sentence after the jury finds a conviction, and there's nothing that anybody could do. Because once you get caught in the web of the law, to reverse everything takes a long, long time. Yes, we know that there's going to be appeals. Excuse that you're going to give God in your appeal. When you go in the great white throne and have to present yourself and present every word you said and present every deed that you committed. What are you going to say? What is going to be your excuse? There is no excuse to be had. There's no excuse to clarify your actions. But your actions was opposite of that which God told you to do. God, who loves you very much, want you to operate in a certain way, walk in a certain way. But you chose to do things your way. Let us go on to the second verse, which is Psalms 12, 6 and 7, see what it says. Psalms 12, 6 and 7. And the word of God says, 6, the words of the Lord are pure. Words as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purify seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. The word of God is pure. It's like being tried in the earth. Seven times purify. Now we know the number seven is God's number of completion. So when we see seven, purify seven times, it's letting you know, listen, it's best that you come in accord with the word of God. Because the word of God will find you out and will let you know the truth. And people don't want to hear the truth, like Jesus said. Jesus said in the Gospel of John chapter 3, I didn't come to condemn the world, but that the world through me might be safe. But man loved darkness rather than the light, because their deeds were evil. And so that's what happens, brothers and sisters. Because people want to live in this world as the darkened world, they think they're going to get over because of who they are and what they have done. Ain't going to work, because you have to come up and you have to go against the word. The words of the Lord are pure words. As silver tried in the furnace of the earth, purify seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forevermore. It's like you playing one of these games on your computer or your cell phone. And let me say, you know from the beginning that you ain't winning. Because first of all, you're going up against a computer. And second of all, you don't have the knowledge. You can't go and compete against the word, what's going on, because you're going to lose. Well, the same thing is when you go before God in the great white throne and you have to give an account for your life. What excuse do you think is going to be able to get you into heaven? There's none. There is no excuse that would allow you that provision of you going into heaven. There is none. Absolutely nothing. Nothing at all. Let us go to the third verse, which is Proverbs chapter 30th. And we're going to go to verse 5. And we're going to see what the word of God says and how we could apply it. You know, when I pray, that's one of the things that I speak to God about. I say, Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be accepted in your presence, O Lord. And my God, see, I want clean hands and a pure heart. So when I speak something about the Lord, it's the truth. When I bring somebody's attention to something, they would appreciate it because it's the truth. So let's go to Proverbs chapter 30, verse 5, and see what the word of God says. And it says, every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. Every word of God is pure. It's like silver tried in the furnace seven times. Purify seven times. A lot of people say there's a contradiction in some of the scriptures. There is no contradictions, brothers and sisters. Where it appeared to be a contradiction is a mystery for you to search it out and see why is there a difference? It's like, for instance, I'll give you an example. In the book of Joel, he's speaking about Israel and the problems that Israel went through, the disobedience and the army that God used and brought destruction. And then Joel speaks about a restoration. And he uses a specific word. He says, afterwards, when in the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit was given, many of the outsiders thought that the disciples were drinking wine because they heard him speak in different voices, and they were able to understand in their native tongue, in the native language, wherever they came from, because people came from all over that known world at that time. So they thought that they were drunk because they were speaking this way and that way. Peter stood up and he said, no, these men are not drunk the way you think it is. It's only in the ninth hour. And he says, but this is that which the prophet spoke of, Joel. And when it came to quote Joel at that time, Peter used a specific word. He says, in the last days, the Lord will pour out his spirit. What Joel said, afterwards, he will pour out his spirit. So if you read Joel and then you read Acts where Peter quotes Joel, you're going to say, oh, there you see, there's a contradiction there. You can't trust what the Word of God says. But there's a reason Peter, with the newborn again Christians who received the Holy Spirit, there was two persecutions that was going on. One of the Roman government and one of the Jewish government. They were persecuting the Christians. And they were after them. And if you remember, Paul used to be Saul. He was arresting a lot of the Christians and taking them to jail, some of them to suffer, some of them to die. So Peter thought that because of the persecution and because the Holy Spirit was given and they began to speak in other tongues, that these were the last days. So when he quoted Joel, he said, these are in the last days God will put out his spirit. Joel, when you read Joel, he's talking about the restoration of Israel. And the reason he used afterwards is because he was talking of a far distant time when the Jewish people will come back to Israel, when the desert will begin to bloom like God promised, and Israel will be much productive in the areas where they could feed the world. And so in 1948, when they found the Qumran scrolls, and 1947, Israel was recognized as a state. Many people started going home, like the promise of the Father. He said, I bring you from the west, the east, the south, and the north, from the diaspora. I'm the one who sent you out, and I'm the one who's going to bring you back. And so that's what happens. Because these were the days of the ingathering. So Joel thought that, you know, after these things happen, the God's Messiah will come and fix things. Well, 1947 came by, 1948 came by, and we're in the year 2023 right now. We know that 2017, President Trump announced that Jerusalem is the capital of Israel. And we want to thank God for that, because we see in our lifetimes how that prophecy came out to be true. And we see a lot of the prophecies that are coming to be true. And we thank in the Lord, because so far everything that God has said, that God promised, has come to be true. So if you want to know about the power of the Word, in the Word, you have to look at prophecies. You have to look at the Word of God prophecy is one third of the whole Bible. Don't let nobody cause you to slack up on prophecy. You should study prophecy as you study all other subjects of the Bible. Let's go to the next verse, which is Matthew chapter 24, verse 35. And this time we're going to be talking about the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And let's see what Matthew 24, 35 says. 24:35, Jesus said, he's talking to the disciples, and he spoke to them about the end times. He says, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. In another passage, we read how neither a tittle or a dot will pass away to all is fulfilled. Well, a tittle is like the little crowns that you see in the written Hebrew word. They have a little crown on top. And then the dot is the smallest letter on the alphabet, which is the 10th letter on the alphabet. It's yod. And so the yod won't disappear. It looks like the American apostrophe. No, the little crown will disappear because the word of God is established in heaven forever. What we have in our hands, brothers and sisters, and what we study at home, the Bible is a copy of the original one in heaven. So the enemy could try to distort it by bringing different kinds of copies to the earth, bringing different kinds of distortions to the earth. And I just pray that every one of you will look back and see the beginnings and question how did that Bible came to be and what was used prior to it. I have the King James Bible, which is a beautiful, lovely Bible, but I also carry the Gideon Bible, not the Gideon Bible, correction, the Geneva Bible that was completed in 1559. I also have the Matthew Bible, which was completed in 1539. And I look at words and I compare the words, and the King James, except for a few certain words, it's right on the money. And so we have to, Paul said to Peter, the Holy Spirit said to Timothy, the Holy Spirit told through Paul to Timothy, he says, study yourself, approve unto God, a workman needing not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Glory be to the Lord. So you and I, brothers and sisters, as we study the word of God, understand that it's been established in the heavens forever and that nobody's going to change it. Nobody has the ability to change it. You know, a lot of people are trying to change it, but they can't change the word of God because the word of God has been established in the heavens forever and ever and ever and ever. Can't change it. You know, can't change it. First of all, we understand that when the angel spoke to Mary about her accepting the assignment, she said to the angel, let it be done to your handmaiden, as you said. And that's what happens. Mary accepted the word that the angel had by faith, and that opened up an opportunity for the word of God to take on human body and continue to grow as a fetus, as a baby in the mother's womb. Because the word of God says, a virgin shall conceive, a woman's seed shall defeat the seed of the serpent. And we see how that happened. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's go to Isaiah 40 and 8. And we're going to look at that quickly because our time is running out. It's going to be 9 minutes left. You want to contact the church, You could call us at 516-418-5944. Look for the number sign, press that. Look for the one, press that, and you'll be connected to the studio. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. Christianity real. There's power in the word. When you speak the word of God, you know, when I go to bed, I always remember, you know, the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples, the Our Father prayer. But I also thank the Lord because he promised in Proverbs that we're going to have sweet dreams. So I always thank the Lord for sweet dreams. I always thank the Lord for his binding, although he gave us authority, but I put my trust in him. Binding spiritual wickedness, binding satanic, demonic wickedness, sending them to the dry places where they don't return back again. I thank the Lord that he binds up the spirit of pornography, the spirit of sexual immorality, the spirit of incest, the spirit of gluttony, and thank the Lord that he sends them to the dry places never to return again. And I thank the Lord that the angels are about fighting the enemy on my behalf and watching us that no harm and danger will come our way. Hallelujah. We want to thank the Lord. And, you know, we are God's children. We have the authority. We have the power in the name of Jesus to request that of the Lord. And Jesus said that whatever we ask of him, of God in his name, he will get granted unto us. Glory be to the Lord. Isaiah 40:8. Let's read there. 40:8. And the word of God says as follow. The grass withered, the flower faded, the word of our God shall stand forever. Glory be. Glory be. Hallelujah. So no matter how many things you do to the word of God, no matter how much excuses, it's not going to work, my brothers and sisters. Because in Isaiah 40:8, it says, the grass withereth, the flower faded, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Glory be. Glory be. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. You know, we thank the Lord. We're coming down towards the end. And the last two verses we're going to be looking at. And we're going to go to 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 21. And we're going to see what it says there. It's a very interesting passage because this is what the Word of God says. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 21. And the word says, who by him do believe on in God that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and your hope be in God. Seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth to the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. See that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all is grass, and all the glory the man as the flower of the grass. The grass withereth, the flower therefore fadeth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Glory be, glory be. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Before we go into our last one, into Revelation, let me read you one more. And that is from 2 Peter chapter 3, beginning at verse 3. And it says, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning. In verse number 9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering toward usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Then in 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning of verse 19, it says, we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shineth in darkness, dark places, unto the day dawn, and the day star arise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So we have the word of God established forever. Jesus Christ saying it is forever and ever. And here we have the Holy Spirit establishing it forever. So we want to thank the Lord for that. We're going to go to Revelations chapter 22. And verse 6, it says, and he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true. The Lord God of the holy prophets says his angel to show unto his servants the things which must surely be done. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keep it, the sayings of the prophecy of this book. So we see, brothers and sisters, that when Jesus Christ comes back with his church, when Jesus Christ comes back with his iglesia, the called out one, the word of God tells me he defeats the enemy with the breath of his mouth. Whatever he says there, and you read it very carefully, hallelujah, chapter 20, and we're going to begin at verse 15, and he says, verse 12, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before the God, and the books were open, and another book were open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the book according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell deliver up the dead which were in them, and they were judged according man to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. That's the word that's written down, my brothers and sisters, and we must follow suit. You know, Jesus Christ is the answer to your problem. If you read the Gospel of John 14:6, you can see that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by him. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Next Thursday, when we come back, we're going to be studying a different subtopic. And it's going to be power in the blood. Until then, may the Lord richly bless you. Amen and amen.